everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering the show. Normally Ray's with me Monday through Thursday, and Tom Fairbanks is on the other side of the glass. Tom, a bit under the weather, so I'm in very capable hands, as always, with Ray, and together we welcome you. It is the Friday edition of Buckmaster on April 8th, 2016. Hope you had a great week. Looking forward to a very good weekend. We're live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We stream and have our podcasts available anywhere in the world. You can listen to the show at buckmastershow.com, also the live stream at kvoi.com. Our media partners, thank you to these media folks who help us out by promoting our program, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Our Friday Focus interview today, John Schrader is with us. John is assistant professor of journalism at Cal State Long Beach. He spent 35 years in the broadcast business, both in local TV news and sports radio. Most of that time, he was in the San Francisco market, where I had the honor and pleasure of working with Mr. Schrader for about 6 years in San Jose. John has done extensive research in media presentation, including news, politics, and sports. He's researched and written extensively also about social media, political talk radio, Twitter, and reporting at the World Cup. Joining me in studio to talk with Professor Schrader are representatives from the editorial boards of Arizona's two largest newspapers. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Linda Valdez is a Tucson-based editorial writer who has lived in this community for a long time, many decades.
Since 1964.
1964. She is a columnist for the Arizona Republic, which, of course, is based in Phoenix, and editorial writer. If you have a question or comment for our discussion as we discuss the media, the Buckmaster Show live line is open at 790-2040. Our Facebook address, Bill Buckmaster, and at Twitter, at Buckmaster Show. Let's go now to Long Beach and John Schrader. John, how are you?
I am fabulous, Bill. Thanks. It is great to hear from you.
Yeah, you know, the big story, and we were talking a little bit about this. I was talking with you yesterday. Everyone's talking about reporters now being basically banned from the floor of the Arizona House unless they undergo an extensive background check that even goes into traffic violations. Have you ever heard anything like this?
You know, I haven't, though there certainly are plenty of examples of the powerful doing their best to marginalize members of the media. Some of our presidential candidates are trying to do that, and some of them rather effectively at this time. But, you know, the authoritarian media model has the powerful deciding who gets to cover what and who says what and what media get to report what. And it sounds like from afar, and I don't know all of the particulars, though I've been reading about the problems between the speaker, Gowan, and at least one member of the media, if not more. So I don't know the particulars of this, but I do know that there's an assault on our First Amendment rights, and this looks like just one more little bit chipping away at it, and it is a big concern, of course.
And Linda Valdez, her newspaper, editorializing today, reporters unmasked Arizona's House Speaker, so they had to be punished. I have to read from the first paragraph, John, Linda, and Sarah, from this editorial about David Gowan, basically saying that on Thursday, Speaker of the Arizona House barred reporters and photographers from the House floor because they wouldn't submit to the security equivalent of a proctology exam. How's that? Linda, you want to jump in here?
Sure. Yes, I absolutely would. Hi, John. Hi. I wanted to, you know, Speaker Gowan is running for Congress. He's running for an open seat, and he is one of, I believe, seven Republicans running. And it occurs to me that doing this on the same day that the Attorney General announced he would be investigating Speaker Gowan for some alleged misdoings is really a bid for his for the far right. It's not going to hurt him at all with the far right of the Republican Party, with the people who vote in Republican primaries, to be seen as an enemy of the press. What do you think? And also with Donald Trump, also it seems as though being antagonistic towards the press these days is a good thing with some voters.
Absolutely, being an enemy of the press is good for your, at least in one stage, in one set of elections, in the primary when you're going after your particular focused group. But it has been a fair game for a long time. What I think is always ironic about this, and then especially from those who sometimes offer themselves as these wonderful constitutional originalists, the idea of giving so much protection to the press, and of course at the time it was only the press, it was writers and pamphleteers and magazines, very limited in that, that we were supposed to keep an eye on the powerful. That was the idea. The public powerful and even the private powerful, we're supposed to do that. That's our job. We're supposed to be promoting that idea. But we're getting more and more back to the 19th century model of partisan journalism than the 20th century model of more neutral, independent journalism. And I think for the consumer, that should be a big concern as much as it is for those of us in the business.
All right, let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson in from The Star. Sarah?
I'd like to get your opinion on the segmentation of the media market. If you never want to hear anything positive about President Obama or Democrats, you can listen to Fox News or, you know, watch Fox News. If you are more, there's MSNBC, not quite to the same level as Fox News, but it has more liberal commentators on it and really some. Mm-hmm. Are we in an era where if you don't want the information that you don't like, you don't ever have to come in contact with it? And what does that mean to our shared experience as a society?
Well, I will share with you, and I'll try not to sound academic about this, because as you know, I didn't spend all of my career as in the academy, as they call it. And there's a term that's used, and it's called selective exposure. And it is a growing phenomenon for people. And that simply is that you just go places where your values, your beliefs are confirmed. And it's easy to do that now, and not just at Fox News, but in all kinds of social media sites, blogs. You really don't have to be exposed to anything you don't want to. You can have somebody send you an alert from a media entity and send it directly to you, and you never ever have to see anything else. Now what happens is, the reason that it's a little skewed is that Fox News has these massive audiences, and the people who watch Fox News are very loyal and they watch it every single day. People who watch CNN and MSNBC, for instance, they actually expose themselves more to the conservative viewpoint than the conservatives expose themselves to moderate or liberal viewpoints. And so that's why sometimes the power of Fox News, the power of right-wing political talk radio, can sometimes be misportrayed, because the audience size is impressive, but it's the same people over and over and over again, while anybody who's somewhat in the middle and to the left generally sees a lot more media than they do on the deeply conservative.
Another question is that I have is about the press, the public perception of the press. I mean, I think we're all journalists. We all see ourselves as doing a public service, as doing something that is meaningful, because people have the right to know and should know what's going on in their government and with among the powerful. Do you think that you know, average folks see themselves as being represented in the media? You know, I take that very seriously. Does mm-hmm. that carry into the audience, or is it more one-sided?
I think so. I think that the average media consumer feels like it's the powerful who are represented and not me, not us, not we. I also believe, and I've been a critic of this for years now, that the East Coast, New York, Washington elite, and I sound like a politician when I say this, and I don't mean to, the New York, East Coast, Washington, D.C. media elite have ignored what's going on in the rest of the country for so long, and they're on the sort of cocktail circuit in the powerful centers of media in the East Coast, And now they're getting this sort of slap in the face, like, what, you mean the rest of the world is pissed off about something? Holy Toledo, what's happened here? So we're kind of, we, and I'm going to say this editorially, we are sort of to blame for this problem we have, not just in the way we've represented people and presented the media, but also in the way our media business has been structured the last 20 years. It's been restructured. It's been reformed. More corporate, less in the front line, fewer people, fewer resources. We are to blame for quite a bit. I don't know how much, but quite a bit of the problems that we have ourselves.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. John Schrader, assistant professor at Long Beach State in communication, will stay with us for another segment. Matthew, I know you're holding. Caller Matthew, stick with us through the break. We will get to you right after the break on the Friday edition of Buckmaster. Rock and Roll Friday, our bumper music today, Mr. Don Henley. Go ahead, Ray.
I got the call today. But I knew that it would come. An old true friend of ours was talking on the phone. She said, "You found someone." And I thought of all the bad luck.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here.
Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Jan Osweiler.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're
Brenda
here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Hey, it's Gilbert. Gilbert Luna, our director of operations. He's incredible. So good to see you. How you doing, Gilbert?
I'm doing great. Hey, Ken, looks like we did it again. Another five-star event.
Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverdi Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a five-star restaurant. It's incredible. And our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Wow. It will be a hit at any special event. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show, Rock and Roll Friday, our bump music, Don Henley. That, of course, the song, the classic, Dirty Laundry. Friday Focus interview today with Mr. John Schrader. John, Assistant Professor of Journalism at Long Beach, Cal State Long Beach, and he's with us on the live line from beautiful Southern California. Also with me, Linda Valdez from The Republic, Sarah Garrett Gasson, also with me in studio and on the live line. Matthew has been waiting very patiently to speak with Professor Schrader. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, Professor Schrader, my concern, of course, is traditional print journalism, and even as it's moved on, its online status. Has there been a change in their ability to maintain their ability to serve the public, because, you know, it's hard for them to make money with all these different segments. And has that ultimately affected why over the last 10 years it appears that not just the American public, but the entire world seems to be completely, hard to say, stupider? Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
I think Linda and Sarah would probably agree that the assault on journalism has been difficult for us internally and difficult for us externally. The audience doesn't really understand unless we tell them what our problems are based on our resources or lack of resources. But clearly, journalism has taken a hit because there are fewer of us who are investigating, fewer of us who are in the business. And those who are have to transform themselves into multimedia producers or online producers or social media mavens. So there's been this incredible transformation. Has this made us stupider, to use Matthew's term? I don't think so. I think the responsibility on the part of the citizens is sometimes misunderstood by the citizens. And that's what disappoints me sometimes. And maybe that's our fault. I don't know, Bill and Linda and Sarah, maybe it's our fault and maybe it isn't, but I don't feel like the citizens accept their responsibility to be as well informed as they should, and I don't know if that's because we are doing a worse job because we don't have as many people who are doing that job.
That's a question I guess I'll put out rhetorically.
John, it's interesting that Donald Trump has tapped into this anger not only at the establishment but the media. And, of course, mm-hmm. there's the codependent relationship that Mr. Trump and the media have with record high ratings for the political talk radio. February was the highest rated for talk radio ever. I mean, off the charts. And look what he has done for cable news.
Cable news ratings are incredible. The number one cable network, not just among news, is now Fox News and has been since the last quarter. CNN's ratings are up. MSNBC's ratings are up dramatically. Their ad rates are up. They're making more money. But they know the more they talk about Donald Trump, the more the viewers will be there and the more the hits they'll get online, the more social media they get, traffic they get. The irony, of course, is that Donald Trump has used the media brilliantly. He's made himself available via telephone just about any time of the day to those folks in the media. And so he stands up in front of crowds and rips the media, and then he'll walk off and get on the cell phone and talk to somebody on television about what he has just said, and then he'll go back out in a crowd and rip the media, and may even rip the media in an interview he's doing with the members of the media. So shame on us. Shame on us for giving him that continued forum, but there are no, moral questions here. We know who we are. We're here to make money, and that's what they're doing.
All right, let's go to the live line again. Caller Jim. Jim is with us. Jim, you are John Schrader.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Hi.
One of the things I'm noticing is that has made things very challenging for media and journalism, and I don't think that they are necessarily the same thing, is with social media, journalists are getting immediate feedback on what they've written, and I think it's also opened up their relationships of journalists that they mm-hmm. now have with people that they've never had before. The common
I think that's
man,
a good thing.
Yeah.
As you
yeah.
say. And it's a good thing, exactly.
Yeah.
So I just want your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a very good thing. I think it took a while for especially some old line journalists to understand that really their work can be edited by the public along with them. They put something out, and if they misspelled somebody's name, they can fix it quickly. If they get a little tidbit of information wrong, they can fix it very quickly. So it's almost as if the community of us are editing this this work. And yes, the relationship building has been made easier and more challenging through social media because we don't mediate the messages like we used to. The messages are mediated by the powerful and the sources now. If they want to say something on Twitter, they'll say it. They don't have to answer our phone call except Donald Trump. So it's made it more challenging because they haven't made themselves available to us to mediate their message. But we do have a wide open playing field, and we're learning now, I think, finally, we're learning how to use that wide open playing field to better inform the public.
All right, here's Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic.
John, earlier you mentioned that the transition from the 19th century model of partisan journalism to a 20th mm-hmm. century model of a more impartial approach and speculated on where we're going from here. A couple of things I wanted to ask you about that. One
sure.
is that this impartial approach in as a bad thing, it seems to have produced some false equivalencies, mm-hmm. and I think of global warming as the obvious example of we're trying to be fair to both sides results in giving credibility to a side that really doesn't deserve that level of credibility.
Yes.
And uh-huh. what is the – talk a little bit, if you would, about the impact of doing that and about what you see as the 21st century model. Are we moving back to more partisan? And is that perhaps a good thing?
Yeah, I agree with you. This sort of neutral objectivity never really was neutral and objective, and it isn't necessarily the best in all cases. You know, when we were taught in journalism school 40 years ago, you get one side of the story and the other side of the story, and you try to create some kind of balance. And those false equivalencies happen all the time because the loudest voice sometimes drowns out the weakest voice. And then this idea of global warming, a very good example of that. There is no reason why we as journalists can't say, this is a bunch of baloney. Are you kidding me? Look at the facts. And so
But I don't think we're going to go into the 21st century and have a model that is quite like the 19th century, where political parties own newspapers, where the merchants in town own a newspaper, the factory owner owns a newspaper, and then they are all competing with each other. So I don't know if we're going to be there, but I am concerned about Sheldon Adelson in Las Vegas buying a newspaper, basically to extend his politics. I think we're going to be more of a partisan, more voices available, but not like the 19th century. So, and I think not like the 20th century either. No.
Well, what a very intelligent friend of mine who is not in the media was lamenting to me the other day that the media lets Donald Trump get away with saying these outrageous things, writes the stories about what he says, and does not then come back and say, but here's the real truth about this. And I tried to explain to him as best I could that there's a difference between news reporting and commentary, and it's difficult for news reporters to do that. Is there a way for news reporters to do that, to provide that information to people?
The problem we've had is that an hour later, 90 minutes later, sometimes we get that information, but it takes us a much more time to fact check what somebody says than it takes for it to go viral. And that's one of our challenges as well. So I think that's what's been troubling for us. And I do believe, and I know you all do, that we have just as many people who are dedicated to the craft of journalism and being truthful and telling stories that are relevant and important to our audience as we've ever had. We're as dedicated to it as ever, and we're being challenged constantly in the media age by people who are as good at the media as we are. And I think since the television era began, every presidential election, we've had this challenge of the media since Eisenhower, not so much, but the Kennedy-Nixon really started the television era of politics. And every single cycle, we've had a continuing, highly educated group of politicians who know how to use the media almost as well as we do. And Donald Trump knows how to use the media better than most of us. And I don't know what that says for our system, but he's better at it than most of us.
All right, before we let you go, I want to give Sarah one more chance. Final question from Sarah Gardgassian of The Star.
What can we in journalism, not just the media, I think you're right to draw a distinction, or Matthew is right to draw a distinction, that, like, I'm an opinion writer, but every time one of the criticisms is, oh, you're so opinionated and you're not objective, and I'm not supposed to be objective. So what can we in journalism do to help people understand our role, who does what is our goal, what can we do?
I'm not sure the audience wants that distinction as much as we do. I'm not a huge critic of Fox News. In that they present all the conservative talk. They pretty much tell you who they are. They pretty much come out right in your face and say who we are. I don't have a problem with the transparency, but we need to be more transparent. We need to be more obvious in what we do. We need to sometimes slap the audience over the head and say, this is my opinion, and it's based on all of this brilliant reporting I've done. These are the facts. And I've based this opinion and this view of the world on the reporting I've done. And it is, and I agree that maybe yes or no on objectivity. I think you're being objective. You're taking views, you're taking the points of view of based on information that you've gathered as a good reporter. And that's the best opinion writing and opinion presentation. The problem I have is there's so much media, so much television, so much social media, so much political talk radio, and so much of it is just blah, 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 not based on good, solid journalism. And that's our fault.
All right. On that note, John Schrader, great talking with you. Great reconnecting
Thanks.
With you, John.
Thanks very much. Linda, Sarah, it was great chatting with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
John. Okay. Thanks, John. John Schrader with us on The Buckmaster Show. We're going to have Sarah and Linda stick around. We'll have our Roundtable coming up at 12:33 on the Buckmaster Show Friday. Here's more Don Henley. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show. John Munker and Vince Robigo will square off in the Monday political face-off. Also, the scam of the month from the Better Business Bureau. It's Buckmaster noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. And we live stream and have podcasts in the show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back of the Buckmaster Show. Rock and Roll Friday. Good choice, Mr. Ray Allen. That's Don Henley. All she wants to do is dance.
Sounds like you, Bill.
Yeah, well, at one point in my life, maybe that was true, but don't do a lot of dancing anymore. I dance in my head. How's that?
That counts.
Sarah Garrett Gaston is here from the Arizona Daily Star, Linda Valdez from the Arizona Republic. Again, thanks to John Schrader. John did a great job. It's really interesting talking about media, where we are right now, the future of media. And we kind of touched a little bit on this, Sarah and Linda, about the way now we as journalists get instant feedback, where before, you know, somebody'd write a letter or maybe they'd call you. But now with, you know, with Facebook and everything, it's really instant. And it also brings out folks who think they know who we are personally, and they really don't. But they can get kind of nasty. And that leads me to your column, which I found very thought-provoking on Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star. That was what that particular gentleman who has contacted you before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But this time it got to the point where it was not just directed at you. It was just toward people that are different.
Right.
And
those without power.
Like those without power. And it just was very disturbing.
It was incredible. Yeah. What happened was the week before last, so a week ago Thursday, I'd written about a great program at Our Place Clubhouse, which is a program. It was a writing program for, and Our Place Clubhouse is a really great place for people with a diagnosis of severe mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And people go, hang out, they can volunteer, they can socialize, they can have a meal. It's a really wonderful program. And I wrote about a writing program that they do. And the email I received, I knew the guy's name. I had a feeling of what he was going to say because he sends me really insulting, nasty emails very often. But I was not prepared for just the bitterness and anger, not directed at me so much this time, but at people who need help, people who aren't, who are different, as you said, and people who don't have the ability sometimes to go out and get a regular job, or who are facing hardships that they need a hand with. And the email was just basically, if you are one of these miscreants, misfits, then and you can't earn your keep, you'll perish, and probably rightly so, is what he said. And it was it was stunning. And I felt very bad for him, because I can only imagine that what has taken place in his life to make him see the world in such a hard way. But it was difficult. And so I wrote about that yesterday in the Star and got some very interesting response. Most people were very generous and kind and toward their fellow people, and that was good. But yeah, some folks weighed in saying that he was right, and that was very disappointing.
Boy. Well, I read Sarah's column, both of them, and they were very good. I mean, what that gentleman's letter was the equivalent of kicking puppies. I mean, it was beyond the pale. It was so inhumane and so unkind. And I get a lot of letters from people who are very angry about what I write, a lot of letters that are very critical of young people in school, especially children of immigrants, immigrants themselves. It's discouraging, and to me it's astonishing that sometimes people are willing to put their name on things like that. You would think they would be ashamed of feeling that way. But there is, it's reflective, I think, of the level of anger in the country, and that which is what Donald Trump is tapping into. There are people that are so very unhappy and so very uncertain about the changing world that they lash out, and they tend to lash out at people who are helpless. Who else, you know, that's who they pick on. And also at the Messenger, there are a lot of, I'm sure Sarah and I know you, Bill, too, have gotten them. There are a lot of people who lash out at the Messenger.
Yeah. There is one particular gentleman who every time my name comes up on Facebook, he's not a friend of mine on Facebook, but through indirect, when my name is mentioned in other friends of friends.
When we're talking about how awesome you are.
This particular gentleman, he believes that because I've been around a long time, almost 30 years, and interviewed every decision maker pretty much over the elected officials, he blames me for everything that's wrong with Southern Arizona. He says that it's my fault.
Well, yeah, that, we know it is.
Well, we do, Bill. You should have put chips in all those people so you could control their behavior.
Yeah, there you go.
I do think, though, that talking about power, and I mean, we're in the media. We get to have our say. We have a microphone, literally. We get to express ourselves and our opinions, and a lot of folks don't. And I think that there is something about like you were saying, Linda, that, you know, the messenger, but also I think it's a feeling of powerlessness that people might have, and we're out there and we're saying things they might disagree with, and so they're going to give us their 2 cents.
Well, I think it's also a desire to be heard, because there are some people who are mildly abusive to whom I will respond in a respectful way. And I hear back from them saying, oh, okay, I get it. Well, have a nice day. You know, and it's just they want that validation. They want to be heard. They want their point of view to be heard. And that gets to that feeling of powerlessness. They think we have all this power, which we don't. But there is that illusion that we have a lot of power because we're part of the media.
Yeah, I was reflecting on what John was saying, John Schrader, and about you two in the print world, and how it's pretty exciting time and scary at the same time, Linda Valdez, to be in a time when you really don't know how your particular industry, and to some extent, certainly the broadcast industry, is going to all, how it's all going to play out.
I think that's true. We are at a very exciting time. It's a very scary time in some ways because the size of newsrooms are shrinking. But there are so many different ways to connect with people now. There's so many different ways to hear back from people right away and give and make sure that we're giving them the news they want. And we're part of shaping that. There will be a new world of journalism, and we don't know how it's going to shake out. And hopefully it will serve the function it's supposed to serve of informing the people so that we have people can make good decisions about their elected officials and so on. But I think this is a very exciting time to be part of journalism.
I agree. I also think that there is a danger that we've, you know, always informally talked about, that people in journalism, do you give people what they need to know or only what they want to know? And I think we need to do both, because the big investigative pieces or even just the day-to-day coverage of City Hall is really important, and it's not sexy and it's not controversial except in a very sort of bureaucratic sort of way usually. But I think the challenge is going to be how to convey that information and serve our role in a way that does justice to what's going on and shares the information that people need to know, but then they need to be engaged too. I think that's a lot of what it comes down to. And I thought that John Schrader's point about the citizens need to pick up that information and go with it and make decisions was a really good one.
And you just wonder how this whole melding of the traditional paper delivered on your doorstep, which I still like, but that shouldn't come to a surprise to anybody that knows me. I'm kind of a traditional guy, old school. I like that kind of thing. I like to walk down the driveway, and I like to actually have a newspaper in my hand. That certainly is old-fashioned, I know. But what I'm saying, Linda and Sarah, where the melding of that traditional print newspaper and the online, how that's all going to play out.
It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out, because newspapers used to be much more of a generalist type tool. You got everything in there. And as John was talking about, we're much more compartmentalized now, and you can only read things that agree with you. If you go to only those websites, you don't get the larger picture. How journalism manages to overcome that will be will be interesting. If it manages to overcome that, will be very, very interesting. And to Sarah's point about what people want to know versus what they need to know, that's another very interesting point. I mean, you got to have some broccoli in there with the Kardashians, because you got to know what's going on. And some of that is real nuts and bolts. What did the supervisors do that day? Unless people know that on a regular basis, they're not going to get the big picture when something breaks that really impacts their lives.
It was interesting. John brought up Adelson in the Las Vegas Review Journal. I spent quite a bit of time in Las Vegas in the 70s in the media and broadcast media, but the RJ was always, still is, the pretty much the paper of record in Nevada. And it's interesting about Adelson and buying that paper, and will that open the door to other big moguls kind of buying newspapers, kind of going back to what John said, a 19th century model where big business owned
Hearst. Yeah, I think the thing about the Adelson in Las Vegas with the RJ is that he tried to do it in secret. Uh-huh. It was the really good reporting of that newsroom that revealed that, and it's going to be
at their own peril too, because some of those reporters got fired or quit over disclosing who was the owner of their newspaper. In effect, all right, that's going to wrap it up. Real good, interesting hour talking about the media. Sarah Garrett-Gaston of The Star, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
And Linda Valdez, always good to see you.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Okay, we'll look for both of your work and your individual papers as we push toward 12:50. Ray, let's do some more Don Henley as we get ready for Matt Russell and Weekend Watch.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Don't Miss Business event of the season is here. The 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards are May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort at 5:30 p.m. Join us for a celebration of the long history of Better Business Bureau in Southern Arizona as we honor this year's winners for their work in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. This spectacular dinner event is selling fast. Don't delay. Reserve your spot today and register at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Oh, whenever I hear that music, I get very happy because that does signal officially the weekend has begun in Southern Arizona. Weekend Watch, hosted by Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist, is our host in Silver City. Silver City area offering escape from the ordinary sponsors our Weekend Watch, and we thank them very much. Visit historic Silver City downtown with its galleries, antique stores, museums, and some really fine restaurants. Speaking of food that have been written up in the New York Times, so good place to go. Good place to get away. 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City, and you'll be in a great environment with great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila guest houses and Bear Mountain Lodge. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. All righty then, Matt Russell, who begins his happy hour when he walks into Russell Public Communication, usually about 10 o'clock in the morning, he's ready to do happy hour.
Guilty as charged, Bill. You know, my pick for happy hour today is the newly remodeled 47 Scott downtown. Now, you're just going to love these new digs now that the wall has come down that used to divide the restaurant from its sister cocktail bar next door, completely opening up the space with a fresh and fun new feel. And what better way to toast the remodel today than with a craft brew and some of Chef Daniel Thomas's pork belly kimchi tacos, which are both among the happy hour highlights today from 4 to 6 p.m. at 47 Scott.
Well, believe me, Matt Russell's a guy that knows tacos. He has gone all over the country judging taco contests, so if he this must be a pretty good taco.
They're the real deal, Bill.
All right. I like asparagus, and I guess you can really celebrate it this in April, right? Yeah.
You really can. You know, our friends at PY Steakhouse out at the Casino del Sol, they're always thinking creatively, and this month, Bill, starts a series of special dinners built around featured foods, and as you said, in April, it's all about asparagus. Yes, a four-course meal that integrates asparagus into each dish, from roasted asparagus with Spanish chorizo to start, all the way up to asparagus gelato for dessert. Yeah, you heard me right. Asparagus is in abundance at PY Steakhouse this weekend and all month long.
I was wondering how we were going to get asparagus into dessert, and you're saying do it with the gelato. All right. Well, I would prefer actually chocolate for something chocolate for dessert, but go ahead.
You're singing my song. To round out the weekend, Chocolate fans should head to the DoubleTree Hotel on Sunday at 2 p.m. for the annual Taste of Chocolate to benefit the Rincon Rotary Club. Now, they've got more than 30 restaurants, and other retailers are going to be serving up their take on the sweet stuff, featuring creative concoctions with white, dark, and milk chocolate. Tickets are only $15, and you'll be able to sample it all while you watch a panel of judges decide the day's big winner. I say give me sweets and surround sound at the Taste of Chocolate on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, my goodness. Do not do a glucose test after. Do not do a glucose test after you've been to that Taste of Chocolate.
That's well, good counsel, Bill. Yeah,
there you go. All right, Matt Russell, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Cheers to you, Bill.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye. All right, we've got great weekend talk coming up here. It's just, we really load up the schedule, don't we, Ray, with local talk. I mean, we go pretty much wall to wall here on the weekends with all sorts of great shows. And you've got, you know, Swap Shop, Charles Heller, Swap Shop trains are coming, and it goes on and on. So check it out, our weekend lineup on KVOI. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our whole team here at KVOI, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of the station, my friend Ray Allen, who is my engineer and producer during the week. He's also the fine operations manager here, our production ace Jerry Cross, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt. All of them do a great job, and I am Bill Buckmaster wishing you a wonderful weekend.